All right, our reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter number 10, starting at verse number 7. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "So again Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate.
Yes, sir.
Whoever enters by me will be saved.
All right.
And will come in and go out and find pasture.
All right.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy.
All right.
I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. You ain't grabbing them by the hand. You're going to look at your neighbor. And as you look at your neighbor, you're going to look at them. And they're going to know you are looking at them. Because when you make this statement the second time around, you're going to put a little boldness in it. Amen.
Amen.
You're going to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
my life
has value.
Has value.
Neighbor,
my life
has value."
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "My Life Has Value."
Hallelujah.
Now, as we look at this scripture, and as we're going to just dive right on in, y'all.
All right.
Jesus here in verses 7 to 10 makes it a point to let those who are hearing along with his disciples about who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Initially in verses 1 through 6, he attempted to explain to them and using the analogy and talking about the shepherd. You see, the one thing that I need us to recognize is that when Jesus was talking, everybody back then understood about the sheepfold and the gates.
Yeah.
Because that was the time he was in, and that's the time they lived. So they were able to relate to that.
Yeah.
But for us today, we're not quite there. Because how many sheep herders do you know? There's still some that do sheep herding, but how many do you know? How many of you know go to the village with the sheep and have them in a sheepfold in the village? And then, you know, when they're up out in the pastures during the time when the rainy season has ended and the grass is the greenest, they took care of them. And what is happening here is that Jesus is letting them know as he utilized the example. He uses what's called a sheepfold. You see, when you bring the sheep back into the village, Reverend Rhodes, you had a sheepfold that was secure. And you would herd up all the sheep and put them in the sheepfold. Nothing can get in from the sides because it was walled. And no one could get through the gate because the gate had a lock on it. And the only one that had the gate was the gatekeeper. So the sheep were secure. So people during that time would say, "Yeah, I get that." Right? Now, he also mentioned that when you took the sheep out to the pastures and you were staying up there for a few days, you had what was called a makeshift sheepfold. And it was normally near an area where there was a stoned area where the sheep would be secure. But the only drawback, Sister Fee, is that they didn't have a gate. And the gate was the shepherd. The shepherd would lay in front of the gate at night. Once he herded the sheep and brought them in, he would lay in front of the gate at night so that the sheep wouldn't leave and also no predators would come in. And as Jesus was explaining this to the people, let's look at verse 6. He says in verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. He was explaining it to them, but they did not understand. And then he went on and just said, "Hey, look, I'm the gate.
Right.
And everybody who came before me was thieves and bandits." Now, I got to put this in perspective. He's not talking about the prophets.
Right.
He's talking about those folk, Brother Chester, that was coming trying to lead revolts and tell the people that God is the one who chose them to lead them to revolt against the Romans and to do this and do that. But what Jesus said is that the people didn't hear their voice or respond. So what Jesus is saying is that I'm the gate. And whoever comes through this gate that I'm at will be saved.
Right.
They will be saved because they came through me to go inside.
Oh yeah.
And once they come inside, they have the ability to keep going back and forth. Come in and go out. So what is that telling us? Is that the Lord has called us. In order for us to come in, we all got to come in through Jesus. And now that you got Jesus, you don't just keep him to yourself. You got to go and share it with. See, you know, that's what it's all about. If you say that the Lord is the head of your life, he is your all in all, I wouldn't be nowhere without Jesus. How many folk are you telling about the one who made a difference in your life? How many folk are you telling about how he turned you around? How many folk are you telling that he is a maintainer, a sustainer, and a provider? How many folk are you telling that he healed my body? How many folk are you telling he kept me in my right mind? How many folk are you telling he's the reason why I got blood, warm blood running through my veins? How many times are you telling folk how the Lord has done this and how the Lord has done that? And that only happens because you come in and you go out. And you will find pasture. Which means that you'll have everything you need when you go out. You'll have everything, you'll get everything you need when you come in. Why? Because Jesus is the gate who saves us. But then Jesus, y'all, has to, Deacon Elwood, make us aware of some stuff. He identifies a contrast between himself and the thief. He, in this verse number 10, does not say thieves, nor does he say the thief and the bandit. He specifically says the thief. And the thief he here is talking about has a few names. Satan, Lucifer. Are you following? There you go. See, look at you. I'm just starting to name them all. Are you following what I'm saying? I did that on purpose. I wanted to see how many I was going to name. But he is the thief. And the thief comes to do three things: steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Jesus is making the contrast between himself and the thief. Now, before we get to the second part of this verse, we got to deal with this part. Because the thief comes to impact our foundation. Our foundation as the people of God is based on love, peace, joy, self-esteem. And I'm going to throw this one out. Forgot to get this to y'all at 8. Faith. Love, joy, peace, self-esteem, and faith. These are foundational principles for us as the people of God. So if he is able to steal our foundation, that means that we can't build on nothing. And there's nothing for us to build because we haven't started with a foundation. If he is able to steal your joy, you come to church looking mad all the time. If he's able to steal your love, you hating on everything going on in the church. If
If he's able to steal your peace, wherever you go, you create nothing but chaos. If he's able to steal your self-esteem, that means that you ain't able to motivate yourself, and Lord knows you ain't going to motivate no. If he's able to steal your faith, you will not honor anything that God has in his word because you don't have any. So here we're seeing the killing and destroying are the afterthoughts. But if he's able to steal the foundation, ain't nothing happening after that. How many folk do you know? You've talked to over the years. They told you about their dreams of what they wanted to do and how they wanted to get it done. And they were excited and talked and were enthusiastic. And now when you talk to them, you don't even want to talk about that no more. Because it was stolen. You see, once the enemy, Sister Rose, can steal your foundation, then it's easy for him to kill your dreams, your ministry. Kill your dreams, your ministry, and anybody who you may have come in contact with to help transform them. All those things have now just faded away because he stole your foundation. So your dreams have nothing to stand on. Your ministry has no legs. Your voice has no power, no excitement, because it has nothing to stand on. And if he is successful in the kill, which is because of the steal, then the destroy has already happened. What do I mean? That same person you was talking to that was excited about what they were doing. And as they were excited about it, Mother Austin, they don't want to talk about nothing no more because the enemy done chewed them up and spit them out. And because of that, when you look at that person and you say, I heard them have so many dreams. I saw how enthusiastic they were. I saw how excited they were. But I'm looking at how toe up they are right now. I don't want no part of that. The enemy job is to stop folk before they get started. You might have gotten started, but the enemy is like, that's all right. You go on for a while, but that's all right. I'm going to put a stop to that. I'm going to make sure everybody see it so that nobody going to want to try and do what they saw you try and do. How many folk in church have been stolen from? How many folk in church have been feeling the kill of God, I mean the kill of the enemy on them? How many folk in God's house feel that they are destroyed? I'm just in church. I'm just here to make some noise. I'm just here to clap. But I don't have nothing for me to stand on because my foundation has been snatched away. How many folk are in church just because this is what you do on a Sunday morning? How many folk are in church frustrated and mad and angry about everything? You can't find nothing to get excited about. Why? Because the enemy has stolen all your foundation.
Oh yeah.
How many folk are just sitting up in here and just breathing air and feel that I don't even deserve to breathe the air that I'm breathing? Because the depression has kicked in. The enemy is on the frontal attack. And he has beat you down to the point where you just want to say, the heck? Oh, no. No, let me just go on and just say it the way it ought to be said. We just want to just go on and just say, oh, the hell with it all. Some of y'all use a whole lot more words stronger than that.
Amen.
Jesus is identifying to us how the enemy comes at us. And I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, that used to be me. Better not still be you. Y'all know I can hear it. What am I saying? Jesus is letting us know what life was like before him. The enemy had already had a head start on this earth before Jesus came. So the enemy has perfected the steal. He's perfected the kill. He's perfected the destroy, because he's already had a good head start. And everybody who got sent before Jesus came as a result of a man and a woman coming together and a seed being fertilized and a woman now impregnated, and every child was birthed from the union of a man and a woman. So the enemy said, oh, I hear they can talk for a little bit. They're talking and God has called them out and God has anointed them and God has empowered them. But that's all right. I'm still going to shut them down after a while.
Oh yeah.
But what the enemy didn't realize is when Jesus came, he came birthed from a woman. But he did not come because of the union of a man and a woman on earth.
That's right.
Mary was impregnated by the Father through the Holy Spirit. So it was not a union between man and woman. It was a union between man, between God and a virgin. Which means that God used a woman who had not been touched by a man.
Right.
Oh, I feel like preaching a little bit. Can I preach for a little bit? Don't worry, we got somewhere to go. But look. But because of the union that occurred in the way that it did, it was letting everybody know here on this earth that Jesus is like Noah.
That's right. That's right, brother.
But the enemy, all he saw was a pregnant 15 to 17 year old, because back then that's when they got mad, and figured, don't matter that he here. And now he sees that God's hand is upon him. You see, the enemy knows those whom God's hand is upon. Amen. The enemy knows who God has anointed and who God has appointed.
That's right.
And we are seeing that the enemy, the thief, saw who Jesus was. He said, I'll let him make a little noise for a little while. But that's all right. I've already got a head start. I have created the game. And every time somebody came to try to change the game, I chewed them up and I spit them out. Brother Freeman, the enemy thought he had it in the bag. It was not going to be any issue that he was going to chew Jesus up and spit him out like he did everybody else. But what he didn't realize is that Jesus was the Son of God. That he was fully human and he was fully spiritual.
Right.
And when he went to the cross, the enemy thought, I got him, and I got him worse than I got them other fool. But what he did not understand is that when they nailed Jesus' hands and feet to the cross, it wasn't just his hands and feet, but it also was the sin of the world.
Yeah.
The sin that had us floating out there, had us toe up, had us lost in the sauce. Jesus got it nailed to the cross with him. And when he took his last breath, he grabbed that sin and took it down to hell with him. He threw it into hell, went down there, and Jesus raised some hell. And the enemy said, what in hell is going on? Because Jesus said, anybody who believes in me, this is not your home. I've opened the door. Get out. Come on with me. And I'm telling you, the enemy was looking all around and saying, what in hell is?
That's right. That's right.
Sunday morning. He got up with all power in his hands. And when he had the power in his hands, the enemy just could not understand. But he said, that's all right. I just got to change my game a little bit. He said, I'm going to snatch them before they ever hear about the Son. And when he snatched us, he had us in such despair, in such darkness, in such separation from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He felt that now that he's stolen everything from us, we are good for nothing. There's nothing we can do. Because Deacon Jones, if you ain't got a foundation, then ain't nothing you can build on. So he said, that's all right. You might have rose up from the grave, but I done snatched and stole everything from them. I am now beginning to kill them. And as I'm beginning to kill them in a short period of time, I'm about to destroy them. But what I want you to know, Jesus said, I want you to know, devil, you are a liar this day. I want you to know, yes, they are tore up from the floor up. Yes, they are in despair. Yes, they are just wandering around. Yes, they are on life support system right now. But I want you to understand something. All they got to do is call on my name. And when we call on the name of Jesus, I don't care what the enemy stole from us. Jesus gave it all back to us and then some. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Because I want you to know the enemy was trying to take us out. But I want you to know Jesus came and to give us life. Do I got anybody that's excited about the life that Jesus has given back to you? I'm here to tell you, we got something to praise God for, because we now have life.
More abundantly. Oh yeah.
Now that we got life, you know what the enemy is trying to say now? What? In the world? What in the world is going on now? He done came and raised hell. He got folk out here now who I know I was going to replenish my hell with. But now he done got them before I can pull them down. But he said, I got something else for him. I'm going to go out here now. He might have some on the inside. But you know what he is saying, Paulette? I ain't letting no more in. I ain't letting no more get away. Listen to this. You know, the enemy had folk go and shoot up in nightclubs.
All right.
He had folk go to concerts and shoot up. But then he had one go to a prayer service. Nine folk assembling in South Carolina. See a young man coming in and say, come on and join us. And that one man killed those folk in church. Then down in Texas, another individual has a gun, high powered, stands outside that church in the area outside of Houston. Some say it was part of Houston, but it's on the outskirts. Tomato, tomato, I don't know. I don't live there. But he began to riddle the church with bullets from the outside and then went inside and was shooting people. And you know what the enemy said? You might have what you got, but you ain't going to get no more. Think about this. Folk who had not been in church saw what happened in church. And you know what they say? I ain't even saved in the church. I ain't going to go to church. But guess what? Concerts are still sold out.
That's right. Amen.
Clubs are still, hey.
sorry. Come on back here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They still go to clubs. They still go to concerts. But you know what they're saying? I ain't going.
Help us. Help us.
You see, the enemy realized the ones who were in, I might can't get back. But I'm going to do all I can so the new ones won't be at. And that's where we have to look at ourselves and say, my life has value. Yeah. And since my life has value, right, yeah, I got to take that value that God has blessed me with and go and share it with. And I want you to understand that when we talk about that whole value thing, every now and then we got some folk that used to do the clubbing and doing the concerts. I ain't mad at you. And then they slide up in church, and when they come in church, they don't see folk in there excited. They don't see folk in there exuberant about praising God. Because let me go back and break it down to you like this. Back in the day when the brother used to party all the time, I couldn't wait, because I was, as I was approaching the door, I'm listening for that. Then it start hitting me before I even get inside. So when I finally get inside, I'm already ready to party, because I felt it on the. But I want you to understand, so that's letting me know that there was some life in that party. But the reality is, when folk come to church, do they feel that throb of the pulse of God before they even get in the house? Because the folk in the house realize how good our God is, what our God is doing, how our God is blessing, how our God is healing. How many folk in here ain't ashamed of giving God the praise? How many folk in here ain't ashamed of giving it all to Him? How many folk in here don't mind if your hair get a little sweaty? Don't mind if your spots get a little twisted or your tie get a little turned? I'm going to praise God, because I know that my life has. So, now those folk that the enemy think he's going to keep at bay, he can't keep them at bay. Because the Lord is still moving them. But when the Lord moves them to this place, we got to be people that have life. Because we know that my life has
value.
And since my life has value, I'll never come to church. Sit down.
Well,
hallelujah. You see, if they come to church looking for change, trying to understand why you come Sunday after Sunday, and all they see whenever they do come is people whispering or looking at you saying, what you here for? Who you know here at our church? And I just pray that if anybody who comes and say, who do you know here in their church? And one of them folks just say, Jesus. That'll mess them up real good, won't it?
That'd be good.
So if we really want to see how things are going to change, we got to take our value to those who think they have been devalued. Amen. We got to take the ministry to them. Amen. We can't sit back and wait. Well, if we have church, if we have church, I know they're going to come. I know if we build it, they're going to come. This ain't the movie Field of Dreams. We got to put the work in. Don't you know Jesus was the biggest evangelist there ever was?
Amen.
That brother ain't never keep still. He was always on the
move.
Because he recognized that wherever he was going, that there was going to be somebody who needed him.
Amen.
That's why he said that greater works than these we will do. Why? Because we're going to have greater opportunities. We got more technology.
And we have a chance to read all about what he went through, and then he still was victorious. So why are we walking around defeated and depleted and thinking we can't do nothing right? I'm here to tell you today that my life has value. I wouldn't be here if it had not been for Jesus. And since I got Jesus, I got everything that I need. And if I don't have it, he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how good our God is? Understand where our God brought us from? Understand how he turned us around? Understand that he can make a difference? So what we want folk to know, that when they come to this church, we want to teach them how to say hell no. Messed up a few folk. You know why we want to teach them to say hell no? Because if we don't teach them to say hell no and accept Christ, where they going?
To hell. Straight to hell.
Somebody going to catch that. And if we are trying to keep folk from hell, we have to give them an alternative. And the alternative has to be what? Heaven. Heaven what? Yes. Heaven yes. Hell. Heaven. Hell. So when folk come here, we're doing our best to make sure that they don't end up in
hell.
Because we want them to say
hell no.
Heaven.
Yes.
Yes.
Heaven yes. Why am I saying this to us?
Say so.
You can't get there. You can't help nobody until you understand. My life. Do I need to preach 5 more minutes? My life. Now that you know your life has value, it is your responsibility to take that which you've been blessed with and share it with somebody who doesn't understand that their life has value. You don't realize the chain reaction you can create by going and sharing the good news with just one person. Because that one person might ignite 10 other folk. Those 10 might ignite 50 folk. Those 50 might ignite 100 folk. Those 100 might ignite 1,000 folk. Those 1,000 folk might ignite 10,000 folk.
That's
and
right.
So on and so on.
That's
but you
right.
won't know what can happen until you get what? Started. Do I got anybody in here who's ready to get started? Do I got anybody in here who is ready to tell somebody else about the goodness of the Lord? Do I have anybody in here who's willing to let others know that my life has value? I know what my life was like before I had Jesus, and now that I have Jesus, I will not sit down and shut up because the Lord has brought me too far. I ain't going to turn back now. I got to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Do I got any folk that want to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise? Because you realize I got to bring upon change, because change has followed me.
Oh, yeah.
My life has
value. Oh, yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
time to share.
Now go on and give 3 folk a high five and say, I ain't gonna be quiet no more.
No more.
You see, when you understand what God has done and what God is doing, hear me, y'all. Because we're getting ready to close out. But hear me, you can have a seat for just a minute, because we're ready to close out. The enemy has several tactics. And the reason why we fail to beat him, because you can't beat him. It's his game. You can't beat him at his own game. Just like, you know, some of y'all, every now and then you get an extra dollar or two. You run up to the casinos. Thinking, no, listen. Thinking you're going to break that bank. They're going to break yours first. Because the game is rigged in their
favor.
Check this out. Think about this for a second. How many casinos have you read about in the past 15 years that have gone bankrupt?
Yeah, they're going to jail if they do beat it.
Like Arsenio Hall said, things that make you go. The odds are stacked against you.
That's right.
And when it comes to the enemy, we've all tried to fight him.
Come on, man.
And we've all been unsuccessful because we thought we had the game figured out.
No.
He changed the rules. And that's how come we ended up being toe up. But we had something within us because the essence of who God is caused us to call out to his son. And when we did, everything that was stolen was given back.
Yeah.
And then some.
All right.
And those dreams we thought we lost, God brought them back.
Amen.
That self-esteem, it's back. That love, it's back. That peace, it's back. That joy. I thought y'all was with me. But what I want you to know, whatever he stole, whatever he attempted to kill, and whatever he attempted to destroy, it's what?
Hey.
It's back. And why did God give it back to us? Because he had already valued us when we thought we had no value at all. So that's how come when we come to church now, before we come inside, I already know that the heartbeat is already happening in the house. And before you get inside the house, you're already ready to praise God. And when you come up inside the house, you feel like busting them doors out and just start shouting and praising his holy name. And I don't care if I got to do it all by myself. You don't know where the Lord has brought me from. You don't know how the Lord has healed me. You don't know how he's fixed it. You don't know how he's been there with me. That's how come when I'm in the house, I got to give him praise. When I'm outside the house, I got to give him praise. And let everything that has breath do what?
Amen.
And that's why we praise him.